The scripture reading this morning will come from John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." John 20, 24 through 29.
I would encourage you this morning, if you haven't already done so, to take out your Bibles and be turning to the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll begin there in a moment looking at some passages from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So glad to have you today. I always like it when the song leader asks us to move in, so to make more room for other guests who are joining us. And we're grateful for all of you this morning. We have a lot of folks with us, and we're so glad to have you. We want you to feel welcome. We want you to come back every time that you can. And we want you to know that our intent here is to honor God and to serve Him and to do what He has asked us to do according to His Word. That's always what we're trying to accomplish. And so we'll ask you to study with us this morning, and hopefully you can help us understand, and we can help you understand as well what God has in store for us and what He would have us to do. I'm hearing an awful lot of feedback, Tom, and I'm not sure why that is. Thank you. The elders have been meeting. We met this Friday and spent several hours talking about some things in reference to the work this coming year, and we've been discussing that ongoingly over the past several months, thinking about that. And one of the things that we do when we meet each year to talk about the new year that's to come is we discuss some of the things that we felt like were good about the previous year. We always try to start with that. It kind of gets us started in a good way. We enjoy doing that. Things that we have discussed, that we mentioned yesterday, or Friday as a matter of fact, was the fact that we felt like the theme this year has been especially good. The comments that we have received in reference to the theme and eternal people have been very good. And of course, we've taken that from the text of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. "For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal." And we've talked about that. We've had lessons on that. We've had workshops on that. And I think that part of why I believe that it's been good for us to discuss that is because it's such a practical thing. And talking about how we live each day and how we accomplish what it is that God wants us to accomplish. And so I'm excited about even the future themes that we have, because I believe those are things that will help us a great deal. I want you to look, though, in 2 Corinthians 5 this morning. And I mentioned to you in chapter 4, verse 18, the theme that we read, the text from the theme that we normally use. But I want you to look even further in this letter and look at 2 Corinthians 5. And I want to begin reading in about verse 5, and just talk a little bit about how he states this, how Paul states this. Just scratch this all together, huh? All right, well, I can do that. All right. I like it when you tell me to take that stuff off. That's good. All right, so I got to use this a little bit more. I can't wander around. All right, if I wander around, I got to talk loudly. Okay, all right. Feel better already. All right, I want you to look at chapter 5 in 2 Corinthians, and let's just read just a few verses, because Paul is going to state what he says in the last part of chapter 4. He's going to state that again, but he's going to state it in a much briefer way. In verse 6 he says, "So we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Here Paul says that we walk by faith and not by sight. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about what that means and how important that is to each of us. There is a clear and distinct separation here about how we live and how we walk. He says, we walk by faith, we don't walk by sight. And I want us to talk about what that means. Faith, walking by faith, is talking about walking according to testimony and the fact that we have accepted testimony of what others have said. That's what biblical faith really is. We accept the testimony of someone else, or we accept the testimony of something else. And Paul would say, that's how we're walking now. We're not walking by sight. We're not walking by knowledge. We're not walking by the fact that we have seen something. We have personally experienced something. So there is a great distinction here. And I think as we think about these terms, when we put them really up next to each other, that's clearly what he's saying. We walk, we live based upon the fact, not that we have seen something, not that we have personally witnessed everything that we believe, but because we have testimony that says we can believe that and we can be assured of that. Let me ask you a question this morning by way of illustration. Do you believe that fire is hot? If I ask you this morning, is there anybody here who, well, I don't believe fire is hot. I believe fire is cold and I like walking in fire. Well, that's ridiculous. We all know why fire is hot. We would, most of us, I think, would say yes, because we have experienced fire firsthand. We feel when our hands go up toward a fire, as we move closer to that fire, we feel the warmth. And if we get too close, we feel a burn. We feel serious fire. And we may have gotten too close, but we understand that. If you had seen someone start a fire, you had seen an arsonist start a fire, and an investigator, a police officer came to you and said, did you see that person, or did you see anything? Can you give me any information about that? And you said, yeah, you know, I saw Denise start that fire. Not to say Denise would do that, but I saw Denise start that fire. And you'd say, well, you saw her start that? Yes, I did. Well, that would be that eyewitness testimony that you personally had seen. But what if I was standing around there and I saw witness after witness come by and say, well, you know, I saw Denise do that too. I saw her start it. Another man said, I saw her start it. And a couple of kids were riding a box by there and said, yeah, we were riding bikes and we saw that woman right there start that fire. But then I walked up after hearing all of that information and somebody said, well, Kenny, did you see Denise start that fire? No, but I believe she did it. Well, why do you believe that? Well, all these witnesses. All this testimony would certainly speak to that very idea. She did start that fire. Well, I might believe that, but I did not personally see that. But I accept that fact by faith because of what the testimony has said. Last week, I was with a volleyball team of young ladies. Beth was with me, by the way. That sounded kind of bad. And others were with me. And we were driving in upstate New York, and it was rather cold. And it started snowing. We had a couple of girls from Florida, never seen snow. And it started snowing, and they were kind of looking at the snow coming toward the windshield like, what is that? You know, other girls are kind of laughing at it. What do you mean, what is that? That's snow. Well, they had never seen that. So they wanted us to roll down the windows. They had their arms out. It looked like we were flying down the highway. They wanted that snow to touch them. Well, they believed that it snows, but they had never themselves witnessed that. They couldn't for themselves say, yeah, we've seen that. But now they can say, we've seen that. We know that. We know that it snows. Well, that may be a kind of a juvenile illustration about that, but I think that makes the point pretty well. When we have the personal experience, we can speak to that. When we don't have the personal experience, that we walk by faith, or we see things, or we believe things by faith, and that's what I think Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians 5. I think that's what he said in 2 Corinthians 4. I think that's a perspective that all of us have. Well, we base that not upon what we know, but what we believe based upon credible witness and testimony says to us. You know, our court system is based on that. Our court system is based on knowledge, and it's based on a type of knowledge and a type of faith. If you're a part of a jury, and if your responsibility is to adjudicate a particular trial and try to reach a decision about what's fair or unfair and what the right thing is to do in reference to that, juries come up with what they believe based upon that testimony. Most of those, I suppose anyone in a jury is not someone there who's witnessed it themselves. If you've been on a jury, probably if you've had to have jury duty, taken part in that, you've listened to what the witnesses say. You've listened to what the evidence would say to you. And then you make decisions based on that. You base it on trustworthy testimony. And that's the same idea, again, when Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 5. Why do we walk by faith? Is it because we've experienced and we've seen all the things that we believe? No, that's not the case. But we believe it based upon the testimony. And that idea is, I think, what he discusses as he talks about in chapter 5, the assurance of the resurrection. Well, how do we know we're going to be raised? Because we've looked at the evidence for that. You know, we may not know, in a sense, based upon having personal experience, but we believe what it is that we believe. John 18, verse 37, Jesus talks about, he says, I am the testimony to the truth. And we walk by faith because we believe in Jesus. Turn over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Let's just look at a couple things in reference to Hebrews 11. The chapter that you probably would expect me to turn to as we talk about faith. Now, faith, the Hebrew writer says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence, look at that, it's the evidence of things not seen. Individuals, as he lists these individuals here in Hebrews 11, those who walk by faith are walking based upon something that they haven't seen, but yet they believe in with all of their heart. And I love verse 7. I've thought about this passage for many years. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah is an impressive man for a number of reasons. But when God told him to build an ark, he said, I want you to build it. Here's the reason why I want you to build it. And for 120 years, he was building the ark. Now think about that. Never having seen a worldwide flood, but yet because he believed in God, he hadn't seen anything that would say, this is what you ought to do, but because he believed, he did what God told him to do. He said, I want you to build it. Here's exactly how I want you to build it. Here are the animals and the number of animals I want you to take into it, and I want you to do it because I'm telling you to do that. That took great faith for Noah to do that. Skip on down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into the place which he would receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. That's an impressive way to be. He believed God and he did what God wanted him to do. Skip on over to verse 17. As I think about what's stated in verse 17 through 19, I think about the statements that Joel made to us last week before we engaged in partaking of the Lord's Supper. I'm thinking about Abraham, and I thought those remarks were very appropriate, as were Charlie's this morning. Kind of helped focusing our attention. And this was the idea in verse 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Abraham, as was stated, I'm not going to go back and talk about that again, but Abraham had the ability and was willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, the promised son, because Abraham believed that God could do what Abraham had never seen. He believed God could raise him up. And that's why he was willing to go to the extent to kill him. Even this promised child, Abraham did not know, but he believed God. He believed what God had told him. And folks, it's that kind of faith that we're called to have. That's what walking by faith means. Let me mention this in reference to our walk by faith generally, and then we're going to go back and look at some things from a spiritual standpoint. Everyone lives by faith, whether they admit that or not. Everybody does. There are people who some, I don't know that everyone would, because they would understand that this really makes no sense, but there are some who might say, well, you know, I don't believe anything by faith. It all has to be empirical evidence. Well, that doesn't make any sense. We believe things each day based simply on the fact that we have faith. We've looked at testimony of other people. We've looked at what others have said. We believe in others. We have this confidence and we have this faith in others. We rely on faith daily. You know, in a few days, a few weeks, we're going to, most of us are going to engage in a holiday we call Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about pilgrims, and we're going to talk about food, and we're going to talk about a variety of things. And we learned about all that in school, didn't we? I remember making the bird, you know, you put your hand out, and you make the feathers and all that. I kind of like that time of year. I like what we did on lunch on Thursday better, but I still like cutting all that out and painting. Well, why do we believe that story? You say, well, that's what my teachers taught me. That's what my parents taught me. Did your parents come over on the Mayflower? Were your teachers there to see that? Were your teachers there writing it down? Now, when I get to that fifth grade history class, I'm going to be able to say, I was there, I saw that. That's been hundreds of years. Not hundreds of years, I guess a couple hundred years since, or more since that happened. But the point to that is that what we're really trying to say is that we believe that based upon the testimony, what the testimony would say, and what witnesses have said about did that actually exist. Happens all the time. We are looking for this information to help us. We accept it by faith many times. If you have children and sometimes you hire babysitters, maybe you and your wife, or your wife and your husband, or you and your husband want to go out on the town, and so you get a babysitter, and when you come home, what do you ask? Well, how'd the kids act? What do you want to hear? They did great. How do you know they did great? Well, I don't know that they did great, but I accept the fact that they did great because the sitter told me they did great, and so that's what I want to hear, so I'm going to accept that, and I know the sitter wants to come back, so he or she's going to tell me what I want to hear. Well, you accept that information based upon the fact that you trust that person to tell you the truth. Let me give you something that maybe I think makes the point quite well that maybe we never thought about. I'll use a vernacular that may be kind of humorous. I don't know that it is, but who's your daddy? Do you know who your father is? How do you know who your father is? You ever thought about that? How do you really know who your father is? You know, I look at some of you and say, I know who your father is because you look like your father. Well, that may give some credence to the fact that you know, but how do you know? I'll tell you how you know. Because you trust your mother. That's how you know. You know who your father is because you trust your mother, and your mother has committed herself to being faithful to her husband. And because of that, you can have confidence that this man is your father. And we may say, well, that may be a crude illustration, but I think it makes the point quite well. We believe that this man is our father because this is what our mother has told us, and we believe and we trust our mother. We all live by faith. You ever get on a plane? You ever get on that plane and think, I'm pretty much buckled into this seat, and that's pretty much my role. If I get there, I get there, and if I don't, I don't. I'm going to tell you, when you fly by faith. And I've ridden with some of you. When I get in the car with you, I'm flying. I'm riding by faith, and I'm not going to mention any names. But you know who I'm talking about. But we live by faith all the time. And Paul says you need to walk by faith. Jesus is asking us to put our faith in Him. We weren't at the cross. We didn't see Him walk on this earth. We didn't see him feed those people. We didn't see him work those miracles. But we believe in him. And he asked us to believe in him because the testimony says so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him. What's Jesus saying? He's saying, whosoever believes in him, whoever is confident of the message, whoever's confident of what the material, whoever's confident of what the testimony says, believe in what I say. I want you to take your Bible and turn to John 4. Let's look at the next passage in John 4. John 4 particularly, I want you to look at verse 21. When Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, verse 19 says, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place to worship where one ought to worship. And then I want you to look at verse 21. When Jesus addresses her, he addresses her as woman, and then he says two words to her. What does he say? Believe me. Believe me. Why did Jesus say, believe me? He's asking her to believe in him. He's asking her to believe in him about the most important things that she could ever hear. He says, you need to believe me. Every one of us, all of us have to believe in something. We have to believe in someone. There is something greater, and all of us have to believe in that. Jesus says, what I want you to do is believe in me. Because Jesus talks about sin, and he talks about becoming a disciple, and he talks about judgment, and he talks about reward, and he talks about punishment, and he says, I want you to believe me when I tell you these things. When I talk to you about sin, don't throw that off and cast that off and say, that's not important. It is important. You can believe me. When I tell you that I am here to become the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, you need to believe me. If you want your sins forgiven, you've got to come to me. And if you don't, there's going to be a judgment one day, and you're going to have to stand before me, and you're going to have to give an account before me to determine what your eternal destiny is going to be. And believe me, that's what's going to happen. And Jesus said, you've got to accept that by faith. By faith. Now, let me make another point. That is very important. The kind of faith that we're talking about is not just wishful thinking. I know a lot of people today who have based their faith on what they hope is going to happen. They're wishfully thinking about what's going to happen. And what that is, it's not based upon anything. I had a friend of mine called me yesterday, and we were talking about different things, and he said, well, right now I'm walking. I said, I'm in North Georgia. He's a realtor. And he said, I'm walking in North Georgia. I'm up here on 60 acres, and I'm walking it. I'm trying to sell it. And he said, it's just beautiful. I'm up here on a ridge. And, you know, he's walking along, and he's giving me a description of where he's at. And by the time he finishes, guess what? I said, well, how much is it? I mean, it was sounding good, sounded great. You know, I thought, this is where I want to go. I'd like to live up here. He said, well, it sells for $650,000. I said, well, my house looks good where I'm at right now. I'm not going anywhere. But the point to that is that I can wish for that. And I use that just in an illustrative sense. I'm not actually trying to buy a $650,000 place in North Georgia. But my point to that is I can wish for that. But that's just wishful thinking. Just wishful thinking. It's not based upon personal experience. It's not based on testimony. It's just wishful thinking. And that's not what biblical faith is. I think sometimes people make the mistake by making statements like, well, we just, you know, don't worry about all the testimony. You just need to believe in Jesus. It makes sense in one way, but in another sense, it makes no sense. Just believing in Jesus, just because that's what I want to do, makes no sense. I can believe in this pitch pipe, if I want to, but that doesn't make much sense. And just believing in something or someone because I want to makes no sense at all. There's got to be some evidence there that supports the fact that I want to do that. I want to believe in that. And so, when you turn to the passage in John, the 5th chapter, or rather John, the 20th chapter. Well, let me look at John 5 first. Let me look at a couple of verses. Look at verse 31 in John 5. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he's borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved." And he goes on down and he talks about the witness of himself, verse 37, "And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form." I mean, one of the things that John's doing in his gospel, he's just presenting testimony after testimony and witness after witness to say, this is why you ought to believe in me. And so, when you then get over toward the end of John's letter, this passage that Nathan read for us earlier, the statement that Thomas makes, if you go to John 20 and look at verse 24, "Now Thomas, called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, 'We've seen the Lord.' So he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.' And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" Let me tell you what Thomas was doing and what Thomas wasn't doing. Thomas believed. Jesus himself said, "I'm glad now that you believe." But he said in him in verse 29, "Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. But now I want to tell you this. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." He's not saying, bless those who just blindly accept the fact that I'm who I am. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, blessed are you if you look at the testimony and you look at the evidence, and even without putting your hand into my side, you say, "My Lord and my God." That's us. Jesus is talking about us. We have not been there. We have not seen him. We have not put our hand into his side. He's talking about us. Blessed are you. Blessed are those who have not yet seen, or who have not seen and yet have believed. That's what genuine biblical faith does. It looks at the evidence. It looks at the witness. It looks at the testimony and it says, "I believe." That's why, folks, that's why lessons about evidences. That's why lessons about archaeology. That's why lessons about, is this biblical account correct? That's why those lessons are so important. It's not just, you know, you ought to believe in Jesus. No, it's you ought to believe in Jesus because this has evidence to support the fact that he lived, that he died, that he was buried, that he was resurrected, that he reigns in heaven now, and one day he's going to come back. And you're going to have to stand, and I'm going to have to stand and give an account for the way I've lived my life. That's what the evidence supports. What is it that you believe? If you're here this morning, you say, "You know, I've never really thought about Jesus." Well, what is it that you think about? What perspective do you have about your life? What is it that do you have confidence in yourself? And let me ask you this: if you do, how far has that taken you? And how far is that going to extend for you? I'll tell you, it's not going to extend past the grave. There have been times in my life when I've put my confidence in myself, and that's gotten me absolutely nowhere. What I need is to have the total confidence all the time in putting my faith and my trust in the one who provides evidence for me to say, this is what I'm going to believe. What about you? What about you this morning? Would you be willing to look at this evidence and put your faith and your confidence and your trust in what Jesus Christ says and walk by faith? Walk by faith. One day, we'll be walking by sight. One day we'll see Him as He is. One day we'll be with Him. And faith will no longer exist. It'll be sight. But until then, don't walk blindly. Trust, be confident in what Jesus tells you and what He's promised you. Accept Him. Accept what He asked you to do. And find out what that is by reading what His Word says. That's what we try to preach, and that's what we try to practice. If I stand before this group of people on any occasion and preach something that is contrary to what the will of God is, I want somebody to help me with that. But if as we stand before audiences of people and as we talk to them about what the gospel says, if this is what Jesus said, if this is what His apostles have said, then that's what we've got to do. And faith and walking by faith says, this is what I believe. Would you come this morning believing in Jesus, committing yourself to walking by faith, understanding that that's the only way ultimately you'll reach God is through His Son, Jesus Christ? We'd love to assist you in that. We'd love to help you, and we're going to sing this invitation song as a way of encouraging you. So, as we sing, I want all of us to think about what we're doing. I want all of us to think about the fact, are we walking by faith? And if we can help you in your journey today through your obedience to the gospel, we pray that you'd come as we stand and as we sing.